Love.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everyone. Now I'm in a bad mood, Drew. I can't do the show.
You're in a bad mood to begin with. You're screaming and yelling at your friends.
That's my thing, but now I'm really in a bad mood.
I know, because bad coffee. It's not that bad. I got to tell you, it's not that bad.
It's not that bad. No. I looked at it and I said, this is bad coffee.
It looks bad.
And then I took a sip of it and I said, all right, what's up? What's going on?
You're exquisitely sensitive.
I really am.
You're like some sort of.
I'm like a Persian cat.
No,
I have to turn in circles before I lay down. I turn my nose up. I need my fancy feast served in a goblet.
Yes, and even then, you sort of wait for it to recede before you proceed.
I wait for the owner. I wait for you to go away before I eat it. I don't want you to have the satisfaction of think I'm enjoying it.
The king is about to consume his repast.
I walk my tail up so you can see my anus all the time. My dog's got one of those tails that rolls
up. I noticed that.
And the other day I saw its ass just do like a.
The pucker.
Opened up, closing it.
Did it talk to you?
if you'd put in like a sound effect that said, like, feed me, it would have worked, you know?
Oh, boy.
And then I found myself looking at it, and I felt kind of weird, and it was, like, intrusive, and then it felt gay, and then it felt dirty, and then a whole myriad of feelings.
That part of all mammals has a mind of its own.
The anus.
Yes. As you found out when you had the carbuncle there, you know, that in any little movement, it's winking and, talking and speaking.
I was assuming the dog was breaking wind, but
no,
I know.
Uh-uh.
It was just doing its own thing.
Took a deep breath, probably. There you go.
It's hooked up to something else.
Yeah.
Well, anyway,
yeah.
It's weird.
I didn't
have much choice in my dog, but my new criteria for dogs, I don't want to see any anus.
Cats, too.
Yeah, cats, too. It's nothing worse than that tail flying up in the air. I mean, if you really think about it.
Well, the dog with the anus thing, though, at least you know it's you know, you got to clean it.
But what
is the short hair?
What is the part of any mammal that you want to see the least?
That it's showing it. Yeah.
Answer.
Yeah.
Anus.
Yeah.
What's the only part of my dog I see besides eyeballs? Anus. My dog is all eyes and anus. It's actually. I'm going to get a protractor.
That's a great name for a new store.
Boston anus. What do you need today? Can I interest you in an anus or you're an eyeball? Oh, both. Fantastic.
Well, eyes and anus. It could be like eyewear and underwear store or something.
Yeah. I would say maybe a butt plug and sunglasses.
Right. And Victoria's Secret catalog.
The
eyes and A.
My dog, if I got like a protractor out and I actually measured the circumference of the anus, I would be more anus than eyeball.
In the dog.
Yeah, in the dog.
Total eyeball? Two eyeballs?
No, bigger than a single eyeball.
Yeah.
Bigger than a single. I don't know. I'm going to get on it when I get home.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Hold still, baby.
Yeah.
Please.
It just scares me what you might do.
It's in the name of science.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. What are we doing, Drew? Circumference and diameter. Circumference is around. Mm-hmm. Diameter is across the around.
Correct.
Yeah, this would be, it'd be both. All right. All right, I'm going to measure it out. I'm just, for good measure, I'm going to do the water displacement test on the anus and the eyeball, too, just to
the
just
eyeball,
put a finer
I can,
point
I see
on
how
it.
You're going to do that. I don't quite know the anus.
Don't worry about it. I'm a man of science in my own way. Jill?
Yes?
You're 19?
Well,
what's up?
Speaking of anuses.
Yeah.
Oh. Anyway, my boyfriend wanted to have anal sex with me. So I did, and I really, really didn't like it. But now every time we're starting to have sex, you know, he asks me to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like in the middle, and I want to please him.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he knows I don't like it, but he keeps persisting and persisting.
Help me understand what it is with women that they are so intent upon doing things on behalf of their partner they find miserable.
Well,
and they do it in the name of it being somehow arousing for them, or that this is what sex is. It's
Well, I think women, especially at 19, are looking to be willing partners or sort of like sexual sidekicks. Like, their job is to prop up the king. They're
no,
handmaids.
Your job, Jill, is to enjoy sex as much as your boyfriend does. That's your job. And if it means doing something you don't like for a couple of minutes, that's fine. But something that you despise or that is painful, forget it.
Yeah, but
believe me, your
on.
Boyfriend wouldn't do it.
But hold on a second. At 19, here's what a guy doesn't really want to do. He doesn't want to spend a lot of time with his girlfriend. He doesn't want to cuddle. He doesn't want to walk hand in hand.
But he is so driven that he's willing to do anything.
Yes.
He will spend that time.
Outside of the bedroom.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He will put his time in.
Right.
So he can get his licks in.
Right.
Pardon the pun. Inside of the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with the woman putting up with a little grief inside the bedroom to get the miles logged holding hands and
so to
going...
speak.
Going to the events and the weddings and that
while,
kind of stuff outside.
Well,
of
as a sort of an abstract principle, that makes sense.
Thank
you're,
you.
You're comparing
Thank
cuddling
you.
And hand-holding to cornholing.
That's right.
That is not an equivalent, if you will, dose of bad
times. All right, but here's what I would argue. 30 seconds of cornholing balances out to be 30 hours of cuddling. You know what I'm saying? And there's a lot more of that than there is that. You know, I think it works out.
One more thing.
All right.
That the cuddling is not a it's not a super gratifying experience, but it's not an especially miserable experience for the guy.
Right.
While Jill is saying this hurts.
Well, that's
painful.
Why the 30 seconds versus 30 hours.
All right.
I was laughing to myself driving today, Drew, when I was thinking about the Nebraska Cornhuskers and how I didn't tell you. We have Michelle, engineeress Michelle, big college football fan. I was saying, go Longhorns.
Oh.
All right? No, wait a minute. Texas
Sooner.
Texas.
Sooner. Okay, but you don't like Nebraska.
Correct.
Right. And I was thinking, wouldn't it be great to have a blooper reel of Nebraska events going back to like the 1930s
Johnny
or
Carson
40s.
Himself.
Where people
right?
just,
That's
did
Nebraska.
He go there?
Yeah.
People just flubbing and saying cornholers instead of corn huskers. And just
yes.
from the 50s with the thin tie and the hair combed back and those horn rim glasses at some alumni banquet or some. Thank you, Bob Jenkins. A wonderful. I want to say go cornholers, huskers. And just a long reel of guys screwing up, guys with bullhorns down on the field.
We're very excited. All, Queen Elizabeth has chosen to join us here today to honor our wonderful football dynasty.
I would like to make all members of the fine United Kingdom honorary members of the Nebraska Cornholers Huskers.
Your Highness, Huskers.
Yeah, just a long throughout history since because you know the school was around for 10 minutes. Like the tiles weren't yet set in the entry hall before someone effed that one up and went with the cornholers.
Yeah.
And then by the way, if you think don't say cornholer, it's going to come flying out at some point.
Of course.
When you're out there.
Of course.
Or
is that just you and me?
Maybe.
I think there's shirts made up like that from rival schools.
Well, that I'm sure of. But I just want to hear Keith Jackson go, "Oh, how do you do? Look at that cornholer husker. How's the whole husker?" You know what I mean? There's got to be. Drew, work on that blooper reel.
All right.
Let's see. Jill.
Yes.
So you get what we're talking about here, that this is so unnecessary for you to put yourself through this.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Very simple.
Yeah. Go cornholers.
Well, okay.
Go Big Brown.
All right, thank you.
Well, look, you don't like it, don't do it.
Yeah,
and tell
it's
him
not just not liking it. It is a genuinely painful and potentially the body responds with pain for a reason. It's telling
please.
It not to do the thing you're trying to do.
Mm. But look, here's the other thing, too. You know, girls, what you need to do is instead of do that thing where you're playing coy and you're like, I don't know, say, look.
You got to shut that down.
If you keep pushing on me, I'm going to get resentful.
Yes.
And I don't want to get resentful.
Not,
but if you keep pushing, I'm going to get resentful. If I get resentful, the whole store closes.
Right.
Right now.
In fact, the store shut.
You just want to go to the sporting goods section of my department store. Soon, the whole department store will be closed.
That's right.
And then you get nothing.
That's right. In
you
fact,
right, Drew?
Right now, there's a fire drill. We're emptying the building.
That's right.
That's right.
Go out to the lawn, stand by the flagpole, and think about it. Drew, remember when we were in Nebraska?
I was just thinking, was that Nebraska? No, that was not Nebraska.
Drew and I were on the road, and there was a fire drill.
At a hotel.
Well, not a fire drill. Someone pulled the fire alarm at, what was it? Four? It was a good 4 a.m.
Yeah.
Wasn't 2 because
we
went to bed about 2 or whatever.
Yeah.
About 4 a.m., alarm Alarm went off.
Yeah, and here's...
Everyone headed out into the freezing cold in their underpants
except
and bathrobe.
Adam.
Except for me. And here's the thing. I did the math
Where
on
were
it.
Where were we?
I'll tell you what how I did the math. I did the math in that there was like a prom going on at the hotel.
Right.
A bunch of drunken school age kids running around. And I knew somebody pulled the fire alarm at 4:30 in the morning. And I was looking through my window at Drew out on the lawn, by the way, laughing to myself. And here's what I figured. I was only on the second or third floor. I figured, look, if push comes to shove,
yeah.
I'm going to throw this television
right.
through this window
right.
and I will escape. I will get dinged up.
Right.
See, I did this thing where it wasn't life versus freezing out on the lawn with a half
scratching
a boner.
Your ass
it was breaking a rib and doing
yeah.
it, and that was a risk I was willing to take.
Yeah, smart.
All right. Let me give everyone a quick piece of philosophy as it pertains to this thing. Assess the risk.
Yeah.
Everyone does that thing where it's like, I'll give you an example. I never get to the airport early. I always get to the airport late. And everyone says, come on, why chance it? You get to the airport, you know, if the flight leaves at 10 o'clock, leave at 7:30 or 8. Make sure you're there a good solid hour and a half early. Why risk it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me say it this way. If you fly quite a bit, and we fly quite a bit, you end up taking 10, 15, 20 flights a year, maybe
oh.
maybe more.
Yeah.
At 20 flights a year, you get there an hour and 15 early.
That's a day.
Yeah, that's one day.
Add
it up.
But really,
yes.
But it's actually 2 days of waking time.
Ooh.
Really? It's
ooh.
Really 2 days.
Ooh. It's like when you pay taxes and you got to be one of those a-holes where you go, yeah, the car cost me 40 grand. You're like, well, it cost you 80 grand because you had to turn the tag. Yeah. All right, but anyway, two waking days. Yeah. Okay, the point is this, even better, even a finer point. So here's the deal. So you show up late, and if you show up late, like I do, you get to the airport the last second, you miss one out of every 20 flights. But then what happens? Now, I know, Drew's a guy who likes to get there early, but think about it. Think about it just for a second.
You know what?
Think about all the times, and you have missed flights.
Yes.
One of them is when I missed a flight,
yes.
and you had to get off the plane. But think, that's when that listener didn't pick me up. Remember
yeah,
that?
Yeah.
Okay, here's here's the point. My point.
What the hell's matters with us? We were,
okay, well, let me tell you what the point is. Let me tell you.
Yes.
Hold on, Michelle. You haven't heard this story. Let me tell you something, Drew. The point is you miss a flight, and I've missed eight in my life.
Yeah.
Is it ever catastrophic?
That one time when I was at Oregon State, standing in a room of 5,000 kids in a basketball stadium, and you told me just, you'll be fine.
Well,
you missed your flight.
Well, they didn't miss my flight. They shut down all the flights. And the reason I'm yelling at you is because this controversy.
If you'd been there earlier, we could have redirected you up some other way.
Raging on. I was there in time for my flight.
All right, whatever. I'm being facetious.
You know
it was fine. It was fine. It was fine. I'm just being argumentative.
I tried to get on three other flights.
I'm being argumentative.
Right.
It was fine.
Please.
It was fine.
It's a very sore subject for me.
Clearly, I didn't realize.
All right.
I will not bring it up again.
Well, how would you like
it? It was a lovely experience being by
myself.
How
would you like it if you showed up to, catch your flight? They told you the flight was canceled. You showed up. You tried to catch another flight. They told you that flight was canceled. And then everyone you spoke to gave you that condescending, like, well, look, if you didn't want to do it, you should have just said something. What? Didn't want to do it. I'm at the airport, and they canceled the flight. Thank you.
Listen.
How dare you?
Would you go back up to Oregon State? That's where we were supposed to be.
I didn't go there in the first place.
I know. That's what I'm saying. We need to go back there. It was a good experience.
Okay,
we need to
that's not what I'm talking
close
about.
Close that the chapter.
Ahead,
close the chapter.
Believe me, that's you
Oregon
showing
State.
Up when me and you were supposed to show up is nothing short of rape for those students.
Corvallis.
Talk about just...
Invite us back.
Just wholesale rape. You get Dr. Drew and you think you're getting the ace man? Please. I know. What was I saying? Okay, here's my point. You miss a flight. What happens when you miss a flight? And I didn't miss that flight. They shut the airport down.
Yeah,
fogged in at Corvallis
or
whatever. But you miss a flight. What happens? You get on another flight. Average time, about 45 to 50 minutes later. That's average. All right, there you go. One day versus an hour in the next flight. I know everyone thinks of this sort of doomsday scenario, but the reality is I've missed a bunch of flights. You get on the next flight.
In a little way, though, you're thinking like the millionaire you are.
That's literally.
Those are first-class seats. You can do
that
way.
I fly.
You miss your coach seat. It's
nobody flies
toilet.
Coach. Everyone flies first class. Please.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Out there. Well, okay. I factor in the
that's
first class
you
ticket.
Can, that's right. That's
all
why
but
you can
secondly,
do that.
No, it's not all first class. All that Southwest crap to Vegas and all that. That's not first class.
Well,
that's
you
in the
wait
plane.
15 minutes for the next plane.
Well, there you go.
Okay,
weigh it in,
I'm with
everybody.
You on that. I'm with you on that one.
You're with me on everything. Okay. Now, what was I saying? Yeah. Okay. Here's what happened, everybody. We were going to do the... Florida State.
No,
University of Florida.
Yeah.
And Drew let's see.
Delta.
Yeah, we were going to be gone for like 4 days. Because we're doing Florida and we're doing another college or two.
Okay.
And I didn't see why Drew and I had to drive separately at 5 in the morning. It was like a 7:05 flight or something out of LAX. Why we both had to drive separately, leave our cars separately, and pay separately, and take the separate bus and all that kind of stuff. So I told Drew to pick me up on his way in at 5:15 in the morning. And this is 11:30 the night before we're doing the radio show. He says, no, he doesn't have time because he has to go to the hospital and make the rounds at like 4:30. But if I want, I can go home with him and sleep on a sofa and then wait in the car while he makes the rounds at 4:30 in the morning.
That's right.
Well, you remember what my response to that was, Drew? Just say no.
Kiss my ass.
No. I said, are you going to leave the windows cracked in the car so I can get some air? How dare you, by the way, waiting in the car. So I refused to drive myself. I said, you must pick me up. He said, he'll not. I said, I'm not driving myself to the airport. And then I insisted a listener come pick me up and drive me to the airport. I think it would be an honor for one of the listeners to drive me to the airport.
This young lady called and it made it seem like
it was an honor. Well, I said, here's what I needed. I needed a female.
Mistake one.
Yeah, I needed a female. I needed her to have a safe, newish automobile that could hold a week's worth of luggage. And I needed her to be prompt because you have to be at my house at like 5:30 to pick me up and take me to the airport. And we talked to a girl. She called in. We narrowed it down to 3 or 4 girls.
Yeah.
You know, this thing that's weird about this whole story is
weren't you going to, remember there was a story about you farting on somebody and that whole thing too?
What?
Wasn't there some...
Okay, it sounds sort of familiar, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
All right, here's the point. The point is everyone thinks this story is bizarre. To me, it always sounded very, very, it didn't sound
reasonable.
Bizarre at all. Reasonable. Yeah. I can get some listener, take me to the airport. So some chick called in, and she said that, she gets up. She has to be at work at 6 every morning. She gets up really early anyway. She lived sort of down the street. And it just was all worked out. It was going to be perfect. And then I started thinking, maybe I shouldn't give her my exact address. You know, man, that might be a little bit weird. So what I did is I live up in the hills. This is my old house. And there's those stairs that the maniacs hike up for exercise. They're a bitch. And let me tell you, the only time they're worse is during the winter about 5:15 in the morning when it couldn't get any
colder.
When
you're carrying two huge suitcases.
And you're carrying two huge suitcases. And it's wet. It's like it was like misting. Not quite raining. Freezing. And I told her, meet me at the bottom of the street. Meet me at, down on Beechwood Canyon. So I took the stairs down there about 5:15, 5:20 in the morning, and I just stood there. It's dark. There's nobody around. I just stood there, and then couldn't find her. And then I started thinking, well, maybe she stopped at the corner, but I had so much luggage that I thought, okay, I'm going to leave my luggage in front of the stairs. I'm going to run down the sidewalk and turn the corner, see if I see her car around the corner. And I thought, someone's going to see my luggage sitting out there like 5:30 in the morning, like the street sweep or something. I didn't know what to do. I just left the luggage. I ran. But now it's like... That's 6.
Ugh.
It's like 6:10 now. Yeah. Drew's going, how many people showed up at the Florida event, by the way?
That was 8,000.
8,000 people in this basketball arena.
Yeah.
So now, at a certain point, I cross this threshold. It's like 6:13, and I realize this C is not coming to pick me up. And I'm standing out there like an idiot. Still, never have found that woman.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully she's in the ground.
Yeah, she may resurface one of these days.
No, I mean in the ground.
I know what you mean.
Yeah. So now I got my suitcase. Now, like a maniac, I'm running up 450 stairs.
With the luggage
and the, like, overcoat and
freaking
the beanie. Just waiting, but doing that thing where you sweat profusely.
Yes.
It's freezing outside. You're wearing 6 layers and you're drenched inside. Underpants, gone. A mess.
Paper mache.
Could have wringed them out. Yeah, get to the car, like, throw the junk in the car, and I'm like speeding. Because here's the thing. We got to leave at 7:00 to get to Florida to take a huge crowd there, but to take like a 3-hour car ride.
No, it wasn't that bad. But leaving at 7 got us there at 4 and gave us enough time to go to the hotel, change our clothes, and go to this event at like 7.
Right, and the hotel, the airport is not next to the campus, and so on and so forth.
Yeah,
there's a little travel after we get there.
We had an extra 3-hour little buffer here.
Not really 3 hours.
It was 2.5 or something, but it was some narrow period of time, just enough to go to the hotel, change our clothes, and get going.
True. You really know how to take the wind out of a story. Well, we're cutting it close. We had about 3 hours.
Well, but
I think of it as only the length of Gone with the Wind.
I remember thinking we were supposed to get we were supposed to land at 4:30, and the event was like at 7.
Yeah, and the point is we weren't landing on the campus.
No, we were not landing on the campus. Yeah, it took some time.
Thank you. Jesus Christ. Right. Do you have to undermine?
No, I don't mean to.
Oh, well, then quiet.
It's a good story.
Point is, it was. The point is...
I love your stories.
Okay, here we go. Now I'm getting my car. I'm driving like a man possessed. And you know, do a thing where I pull into the parking thing and throw the keys at the guy. And I'm just running like OJ through the airport, dragging the stuff.
I'm on the plane.
Drew is on the plane. I come running into the terminal. There's the plane. It's parked. I see the plane. Drew's on the plane.
I'm at that point.
Oh, no. Drew
there.
Got off the plane. Yes. Although he left his $2,000 camel hair duster on there that his old lady just bought him the week earlier. It's on the plane. Drew's freaking out. Drew's yelling at me. I'm yelling at Drew. It's awesome. And it's like, all right, let's get back. Let's get on this plane. Nope. No can do. No can do. Why not? They closed the door.
This was pre-9/11, too.
Yeah.
This was when that kind of thing was like, what? And they go, oh, yeah, Delta has a firm policy. 10 minutes before takeoff time, before we pull back, 10
Plane's
minutes.
Plane's sitting there. So, I'm holding the ticket. Here we go.
Now, waving at the captain.
The
captain's staring at us.
The time that we spent, by the way, arguing about it, could have gotten on and off the plane 9 times and taken a leak and went to the Cinnabon.
If you remember, even after we finally capitulated, the plane sat there an extra 10 minutes.
It was what you do when you F with people. I was like, please, just let us on the plane. No, not the door's closed. Yeah. By the way, the door's closed. What? And welded shut? What happens when you land in Florida? They get the heliarc out, they get acetylene torch,
and
they
cut the
thing open? How
about the next plane that comes to that jetway?
Yeah, what do they do with
explode,
the door?
Dynamite the door open?
Oh, no. They don't. They use, Daryl Gates has a converted Humvee with battering ram on it.
Yes,
the one he uses to get in the crack house. How about you turn my front door's closed, too. I turn the knob. Jesus Christ. And then I start going nuts.
Yes, you went nuts. You went berserk.
And then when I start going nuts, I went to some sort of... It just
fugue.
A fugue state where I started yelling
at all the air staff,
get
to the people.
Get me the guy from the commercial. I kept yelling. Remember that one?
Yes.
Where's the guy from the commercial? I kept saying, huh? Wait a minute. The guy, the helpful guy. What? What guy? The guy, you know, let me see. I've seen the commercial. The guy drops his plans and then picks it up and he runs all the way across the airport chasing after this guy because he drops him. Go get him. I need help. By the way, compared to the guy in the commercial, this is nothing.
Finally,
the guy's like, what guy in the commercial?
The guy at the gate finally gave up and got us away from the corporate office. Remember, some woman shows up in a suit?
Right.
What can I do for you, Mr. Kroll?
Get me the guy for the commercial.
Was it like the out-of-towners and you were getting names of everybody saying you're going to get
them? No. That was far more civilized than what Adam was doing. Adam was going insane.
Well, you got to realize my odyssey started at 5:15 that morning. And you know, I go to bed at 2:30. Yeah. So I was out of my mind at that point.
It was more about what's wrong with the door. There's the captain. There's the plane. Here we are. What do you mean, policy? It's my policy that I get on the plane. That's my policy.
Right. That's by the way, I recommend people do that one because people go, our policy is we don't give change on gift certificates. Oh, really? That's funny because my policy is I always get change. Well, there we go. Mexican standoff. Policy against policy. Your policy. My policy is I get on the goddamn flight. That's my policy.
This is what was going on right there.
No.
That's a good 30 minutes.
Every 30 seconds, I would say, the plane is still here. We're still arguing. It's still there.
And they'd be like, well, Mr. Grohl, the purple rope is up. You see the purple rope there? That means we can't. That's my policy, the purple rope.
All right, but we did get on.
We got on flight like an hour and a half later or something.
Yeah, not even that long.
But if
Drew and I argued for 3 hours.
Oh, yeah, then you took it out on me. Then
well,
I became
you've
the
given me a ride.
That's what I'm talking about. That's
well,
where
we could avoid it. The
That's
whole thing.
That's where it went. But listen, then we hauled ass to the event, changed in the gymnasium we were in. Remember, we had to get our stuff out there and just boom, went right in.
Yeah.
And no word from the listener.
Oh, no.
Never
all
did
these
hear
years,
from
that
her.
Must have been a good
never
6 years
put
ago.
Never put a bounty out on her ass when we got back.
Yeah.
Nothing. And you know the thing that's funny? By far the biggest gig ever we've ever done.
Right.
I mean, there was, you know.
It was the largest popular guys group of kids.
2,000-3,000 people normally. This was 8,500 people.
Right. Huge. A basketball stadium.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a little break.
Let's
Drew.
Do that.
A little walk down memory lane.
Yeah, it was fun.
All right. We'll be right back after this.
Hey,
everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician. Did you miss me? But forgot to do that top of the show. All right, where are we going here, Drew? Want to talk to Whitney?
I want to hear about this. It's an interesting question.
Why was it so easy to orgasm during sex with ex-boyfriend but not current one?
Then, that is something we've never been able to really dismantle.
It is. Talk about a punch in the gut.
I know. I know.
Right. Has she told the new guy?
I know. That's why we got to examine this.
Whitney?
Hi.
Have you told this to the new guy?
No.
What do you think it is?
I don't know. I kind of think it's psychologically, because I know girls have to be in the right state of mind. But
and so what was so psychologically different about that other relationship?
The other relationship I was in for about 2 years, but he really treated me like crap. I think most of it was just sexual.
Yeah, but help us. Because we're men, we can't understand what you're talking about.
She needed the bad boy. This guy's a good guy.
Yeah, but why does that make her orgasm?
It doesn't stir women's juices, because I think women think when young women, when they're having sex, like earlier than 20, sometimes I think they feel like it's naughty, and that's
so
an element of it.
So they have to be the bad guy to unleash it?
Yeah, and so if you're doing something naughty with like a guy wearing a bow tie, it makes you feel
the naughtiness.
It's almost...
If you feel like a naughty person because this is some guy that's not naughty.
Yeah, it feels it's contrasting or something.
Mm-hmm. I just think I cared more about myself in the first place, the first relationship, and the relationship now, I just really care about making him feel good, so.
Well, that's not good.
You cared about...
What See, do you this, mean? We got to understand. You got to stop. Adam, turn off your male mind for a second. Try to figure this one out. Because you want to make this guy happy, yet you're not as aroused.
I am. I don't know.
What if it would make this guy happy for you to have an orgasm?
Yeah, it definitely would. He always tries to go the extra mile to make me feel good, but I just don't like want to tell him that I did an orgasm because I feel.
She can't even answer the question.
Well, she's kind of stupid.
17. Yeah.
Hey, Whitney.
Yeah.
You faked the orgasm.
Yeah.
God bless you, baby.
We're
going to send you out a windbreaker.
This is horrible.
We should send out a windbreaker. I faked an orgasm and all I got is this goddamn windbreaker. There should be a club, too.
Let's make a t-shirt.
There should be a faked orgasm club. You know, where you're like, I got 500. Ooh, 2500 club. Wow, sweetie, you don't look that old. I started in junior high with my uncle. Wow, fantastic. Oh, wow. 2500, sweetie. All right, let's get back to her.
Yes.
Whitney?
Yeah.
Okay, so here's what I'm trying to understand. The first guy was a little bit of a bad boy.
Uh-huh.
And
was he older?
Yeah, both of my boyfriends that I've really been serious with have been older. The first one was 3 years older, and this one's almost 3 years older.
How many years the first one?
Three.
3 years.
All right, now quiet down, Drew. So, Whitney.
Yeah.
The first guy was a bad boy, and you had orgasms with him.
Mm-hmm.
Why? But you didn't feel obliged to satisfy him like you do with this other guy.
Right.
Yet ironically, she's by doing that what she did, she was more satisfying to him than she could possibly be to this current guy. You know what I'm saying?
This is the craziness
of men and women here.
But why do you feel this way toward this second guy? The second guy's a good guy? He's a nice guy?
Yeah, I've never been happier. I don't know what it is. I think I'm more self-conscious and stuff. I just don't want to mess anything up, so I don't focus enough on myself. I don't know.
Well, you may be messing things up by not doing that.
I still don't understand why you focus on yourself with the bad guy,
and
but
you can't with the good guy who wants you to focus on yourself.
Yeah, and this is unique to Whitney, by the way. This isn't like a societal male versus female. It's not a gender issue.
Yeah,
no,
maybe.
It is not. Whitney, what's wrong with you? I don't understand. I mean, it's another... bad boys are always more exciting than the nice guys, especially at 17.
I'm always attracted to the bad boys. That's the problem.
All right, that's it. All right, hold on.
All right,
the part where she's focusing on herself or not focusing on herself is neither here nor there. Yeah. That's a smokescreen. The first guy's a bad boy.
Yeah.
Second guy's not.
She's
and
into it.
They love being with the good guys every place but the bedroom.
Right.
Okay, so she's just not into it. So Whitney... Here's the deal. If you had a couple of kids and a couple ex-husbands and you were 31 and you were living in an apartment, I would tell you buckle down and hang on to this guy with both hands. He's got a job. He loves you. He's going to take care of the kids. 17, if he ain't flipping your burger, forget it.
I don't know.
You got to move on.
I'm really attracted to him, and he does make me feel real good.
You're really, really attracted to him.
Then you're going to have to sort of expose yourself. That part of you that feels bad and dirty, you're going to have to expose him to that.
How can you really be attracted to him and say that you like bad boys and he's not a bad boy?
He is to some point. He's a lot like me, and he treats me a lot better. I don't know. He's not like a real good Mormon kid or anything like that. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think it maybe, I don't know, is it just the way we have sex? Is it the size of his penis? I don't know.
Well,
he'll love that too. That'll make him feel much better.
Yeah.
Michelle, are you going to help us on this one? She's thinking very deeply about it. Can you help?
You have any insight, engineeress Michelle?
I think she's too young.
Period.
17?
Yeah. Flat out confused.
Can't work herself out.
All right,
there you go.
Yeah.
All right.
It's 17,
acceptable.
By the way, women, I mean, it's weird. I'm trying to think where they are sexually. I mean, here's an interesting thing. 10-year-old dog is an old dog. 10-year-old person is a young person.
Right.
Things age in different speeds, okay?
Right.
At 17, you've been physically a woman for 2-3 years these days. Sexually, it's like the equivalent, like what are you? Like, here's what I'm saying. Sexual years for a woman, .65,
well, let's put
point
it this
seven.
Way. When you're 2 years old, you're not doing integral calculus. And
right.
She's 2 years into her adult sexual life.
Right.
You know what I mean? She's about as developed intellectually at 2 as she is sexually at 17.
But what I'm saying is let's try to figure out a number. Because here's what I'm saying. And I don't even know if you can go past it. But as a guy, your sexual number is like 1.6 of what your years are. If you're a 15-year-old guy, it's like 19 sexually.
Right.
And a 19-year-old chick is like
0.15. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, oftentimes.
Yes.
So that's the problem. If you weren't really just break it down, a 15-year-old guy feels sexually about 19, and a 15-year-old chick feels 12.
Yep.
And that's when you run into problems, and that's why I didn't get laid in high school.
That's why.
And they didn't have roofies back then.
Right. And you've been using those so successfully since.
Oh, yeah.
That.
No. I'm going to have my own wine cooler roofie flavor.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're going to have a roofie-flavored wine cooler?
Yeah.
Or wine cooler-flavored roofie, or both?
A wine cooler-flavored roofie.
Oh,
yeah. No, roofie-flavored wine.
Oh,
yeah. Maybe both. You're right.
Yeah.
Why limit myself?
Right, exactly.
I got to get the Bartles and James guys on the phone. They're a little tight. The guy wears the coveralls.
Yeah.
He's a little uptight, but I think I can talk him into it.
Bartles, Rohypnol.
Come on, buddy. Let's go. What? Spanish fly? Whoa. You're living back in the 50s, brother. No. It's about roofies. Light carbonation. No, twist off. You'll never get the second one open if it's, Let me say this about bottles.
Oh.
Can we just go ahead and set a standard with the twist off versus the non-twist off?
What
the beer bottles?
Yeah.
They keep you guessing every time.
Right. So
and,
you can rip your hand up.
Yeah, what it is you, what happens is you drink three Miller Lights and then, now you're going to grab a Heineken and it's,
Yeah.
And then the search begins. The twist-off ones seem to work pretty well.
Yeah.
Then no problems there. No one's lost an eye. Nothing's going skunky.
Right, why don't everything go that way?
They've been around for 25 years.
Yeah.
How about we just go ahead? How about we get the snobs over at the foreign breweries just to go ahead and jump on the twist-off bandwagon? Yes, Drew?
There you go.
Wouldn't it be right?
Yes, Adam, would.
Is there anything worse than looking around for the opener and doing that whole thing?
There's one thing. It's when you ripped your hand off before you start looking for it.
Yeah. And there's always that one guy who can open them with, like, a cigarette lighter or his tooth or the countertop or his keys or something that makes it look so easy.
Teeth.
It's a cool guy. Coolest thing I ever saw was the fridge. The fridge, the 400-pound ex-Chicago Bear. He had a hand like a catcher's mitt.
Yeah.
I mean, just the fridge is a 400-pound man, and that's not because he's fat. That's just because that's his size.
It's huge.
And he loves fishing. Me and Jimmy went fishing with the fridge.
Did you go ice fishing?
No, we just went regular fishing. He back at home, he had a pig in the ground, by the way.
Oh.
He was getting ready to eat when he got home. He had a Super Bowl ring. His fingers are, you know, the size of bananas.
Yeah.
And the Super Bowl ring, and each, he became like a bottle opener. That we were drinking a lot of beer on the boat, and we didn't have the twist off right. And I just keep handing him beer, and he just take the one big mitt and pop it.
With the ring.
Somehow the ring, yeah, he would use the ring. Obviously, he's a guy who polished off several hundred thousand cases this way, but I don't know if he wouldn't have won the Super Bowl, I want to know how he'd get the beer open, but just huge mitt, just pop. Yeah.
Wild.
Yeah, no, it's a talent.
Wow. You have to have a bottle opener on your keychain like I do.
Yeah, it's a class
move. And not drink domestic beer. That's a no-no.
Yeah. I'm hip. But, you know, what are you going to do? Every once in a while someone hands you a Miller.
Yeah.
All right. What are we doing, Drew? Are we taking a break?
No, Riley first.
Talking to Riley? All right. Riley?
Yeah?
You're 20?
Yes, I am.
You're calling from Minneapolis?
Yes.
We've been off there for a while. We're back on. It's good.
We have?
Yeah.
All right. What's up there, Riley?
Well, it's kind of a complicated question. I've been with my boyfriend for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 20 years old, so it's been a while.
Mm-hmm.
Over the past, I'd say 2 or 3 years, I've become, super crazy psycho girlfriend, and I accuse him of, cheating on me and sneaking around and hiding things and lying and secret phone calls and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, I know that it's made up in my head. I know
Okay, hold on. Are you doing speed?
No.
You're not doing diet pills or anything like that?
No.
Are you paranoid about other things?
No.
Have you been manic or are you bipolar or anything like that?
Not diagnosed, but we do have depression in our family.
Mm. Anybody cheat on anyone in your family?
No.
Aha!
Would you say no?
Well,
she may be sabotaging.
No.
She may be driving these guys away. She can't tolerate
the
relationships.
She said no, though, right?
I know, but this isn't.
I just want no. Did she say no?
She said no.
Yeah. Aha! Yeah.
Well, then
why don't you knock it off?
No, this is somebody trying to destroy a relationship.
She's sabotaging?
Yeah.
6 years is enough. For Christ's sake, especially 16 to 20. That is a lifetime.
Yeah. 14 to 20.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's been 6 years. Oh, my God. That's three lifetimes. What's up, baby? That's it. You're done.
No, it's not.
Yeah. What are you guys doing? Are you going to get married?
Well, the whole thing is he's had enough of it. And so he's, over the past, 3 weeks, he's just been I've had enough. I've been promising him for, 2 years that I'm going to quit this. And he's been sticking by me. And finally, he's just had enough. And he's like, I probably can't do this anymore. And I'm trying to find a way, because for 2 years, I've been rationally saying to myself, I know exactly why I do the things I do. I know it's the daddy issues and the mommy and whatever. But, I still, in that moment, I cannot stop myself from, picking at it and from, saying, well, who was that on the phone or where are you going or, why didn't you answer that question?
Damn.
I can't stop.
Man, the rational animal. Well, there are medications to help with that kind of thing.
And speaking of medication, why don't you take a lozenge?
Me?
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous.
It sounds like someone emptied an ashtray in your mouth.
Yeah, I know.
Come on, buddy.
I did 3 hours of television tonight, too, and I was talking like this.
Yeah, really?
Freaking
annoying. Grating. Riley.
Yeah. What was that?
I don't know what that was. Riley.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. You know what you're doing.
Yeah.
You're trying to contain yourself. Let me just speak from experience for a second. Here's how life works. Some people go through life, they never really question themselves, they never know what they're doing, they never take a look.
Right.
Others do, but there's that horribly uncomfortable, out-of-control period that goes on for years sometimes. When you know what you do, you just can't stop doing it. It's almost as if you're trying to set a land speed record and the parachute never opened.
Right.
Now, you're not accelerating anymore, but you're going so fast and so hard in one direction that just the fact that you have to coast to a stop is going to take several miles. And that's what goes on sometimes in the 20s. And sometimes you don't coast to a stop until you're in your later 20s.
That is true. Also, there are medications to help with the coast, as is these perseverative circuits of the brain that just keep repeating themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And or... there are therapy, obviously, for this.
Mm-hmm.
She has some insight, but there's something missing in her interpersonal experience.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what therapy would work out.
You know what the land speed record is, Drew?
650 miles an hour?
No, it's 770 or something that. Fast.
Crazy.
Mach 1. Speed of sound. Crazy on the ground. right?
Yeah, how does it not fly?
You're on the ground.
Yeah.
Well, they have stuff in place, so it doesn't do it. Yeah. You know who has the record? The Brits.
British, yeah.
The Brits. Bloody Brits.
I didn't know that.
They're a weird culture,
you know,
over
they did
there.
It? In Utah.
Sons of bitches. They should be ours. We should never let them leave with the golden hubcap or whatever it is they take. Point is the Brits are crazy into speed, which is a weird thing for them to be into.
Yeah.
Like, what is it? Which is it with you guys? You're into those crazy beef eater outfits and the cricket, or are you into land speed? One or the other.
Yeah.
You can't do both.
Yeah.
They're into all that junk.
Hmm.
All right, I'm going to get to the bottom of this. Drew, you check it out during the break.
You would think if anybody, the Japanese would have it.
Yeah, they don't. They got nothing.
Yeah.
They got zero over there. But the point is the U.S. of A. does not own the land speed record, and we've had it for most of the time, too. Yeah. This is trouble, Drew. I'm going to get it back.
Tom, you... fantastic. You take your car or mine?
I'm gonna use a stock Chevy Sprint.
Oh, yeah.
It's a 3-cylinder car. But don't worry,
rockets in the back.
No, I'm taking out the back seat. I'm gonna lighten it up, and then I'm gonna modify the jetting on the carbs.
Okay.
And take the muffler off.
Oh, perfect.
Are you with me?
Yeah, let's go.
And I'm running on 4 Space Saver spares for drag. All right, we'll take a. By the way, any bigger loser move than the Space Saver on and getting worn down?
Yeah,
you see that guy?
That's bad times.
Where the Space Saver's literally, you can see it's been on the car for 6 months now?
Yeah.
Yes? Mm. All right. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Well, engineerist Michelle just confirmed it. The Brits do own the land speed record. 760 miles an hour, and I, for one, am not going to stand for it. I'm getting it back.
With your, what are you going to use, a Vega?
I'm using a Sprint.
Sprint.
Chevy Sprint. It's a 3-cylinder. By the way, I was just thinking about that car today. It's a 4-door car with 3 cylinders. I thought, oh, my God. You better hope you don't have any friends that got any ass on them at all, because you ain't getting out of the driveway. 3 cylinders. By the way, how low does your self-esteem have to be that you buy an automobile with 3 cylinders? Then people always do this one, too. Oh, it gets fantastic. Yeah, a moped gets good mileage, too. It's nice to have a little protection unless you get T-boned.
Mm-hmm.
3 cylinders. There you go. Is that even sense? You didn't even know that, Drew.
No way.
You didn't know they make cars today.
No.
Drew, 16-cylinder man. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right. Everybody, right?
No. Drew.
Some people have 12?
Drew drives a boat-tailed Duesenberg. 16 supercharged cylinders, a 26 liter automobile, huge
truck. It's like an airplane engine.
No, Drew, it doesn't even. And there's the chauffeur isn't covered. I like that one too. I like when those guys when they design those old cars from the 30s where the rich guy was in the covered part. The chauffeur guy didn't even put the roof over
right,
him.
Right,
and it was like, wouldn't it be easier just to put the roof over the guy? No. That way we know who's in charge, because the one guy's scraping bugs off his teeth and getting hailed on, and the other guy's, he's got a nice crystal vase back there, the flower, and he's got a little phone. He's talking to the guy in front of him.
It must be some kind of throwback, like the coaches in the Wild West.
You know,
the coachman sits outside with the horses.
Yeah, you know what it is we used to F with people that had less money. Like the people
service.
That worked with you.
Yeah.
The servant eats over there. The servant sleeps over there. He sits out in the rain. He wears this ridiculous outfit.
Right.
Now, we don't have that anymore. Everyone just shops at Old Navy, and you can't tell who's rich.
Right.
You used to be you knew who was rich. He was wearing a top hat. He was ordering around a guy who had no roof on his car.
Right.
Now you don't know, and it's not considered in good form.
Right.
Let me tell you something. I'm old school, brother.
You're bringing it back?
I've been living it for a while.
On?
Yeah,
wow.
You're on the Ace Man's payroll. What's
wrong tonight?
Oh, the sweatpants.
Well, and the Jack Hole sweatshirt and the.
Yeah. No. Not in the way I dress.
Oh.
The way I treat people that make less money than me. Yeah, Michelle, give me a warm up on this coffee, would you? Max Chanel, sweetie pea. You see it? No, don't do it, babe. But that was just a, that
junior,
was just
junior,
example.
Junior engineer Lauren. Adam, you agree with what he's saying tonight?
Yeah. It's not junior, junior, junior. It's junior, 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 junior. I think I have
more juniors. We're not going to get a call. Let's try to get a call.
We're not taking a
call.
Come on, one easy one right there.
We're not taking a call.
Come on,
we're not taking a call.
Anderson, don't do that.
We're not.
Adam, let's not take a call. Anderson, let's not take a call. Adam, not.
Oh yeah,
not. No calls. No calls this segment.
Michelle, what do you say? No calls.
No calls.
Yeah, you want to know what? You know, when I hear no calls?
No calls.
I say take calls. That's what I do, because that's the way I do it.
I'm devastated.
That's why I'm a lone wolf. You understand? I'm my own man. I do my own thing. Matt?
Yeah.
How you like me now, Drew? You didn't want me to take calls?
I'm
talking to Matt.
I told you to take no calls.
Well, you're not the boss of me, Matt.
Yeah.
22. Drew said don't go to the phones, but I said screw that.
Yeah, don't listen to Drew.
Yeah. I march to the beat of my own drummer.
Exactly.
Go ahead. No one manipulates me. That's my point, Drew. You understand? Thank you. Go ahead, Matt.
All right. Hey, a couple of nights ago, you were talking about a.
All right, hold on. We do got to run up against a break. We got to take a break.
So see, I told you there'd be no calls this segment.
Oh, no calls, huh? Matt?
Yeah.
Hey, don't go to break. Not go to break.
Pow, how do you like me now? I'm going to break. Any other suggestions, Weisenheimer? Huh? Should I not whiz in the sink during the break?
No, wait, whiz.
All right.
No, don't whiz.
It's too late. I'm whizzing now. Oh. All right. I don't want to take any chances. Let's take a quick break. We'll get back with Matt after this. Woo! Yeah! Get it on!
All right, let's not take any calls. Calls. And take your time.
Don't take my time. No calls. Matt?
Drew is not the boss of you.
That's right. He seems like... I think I hear the sound of a caller on the line, Drew. What do you think about that?
I told you no calls.
Well, you told me no calls, but you know what? You know why they call me Ace?
No.
I'm asking. Do you
no,
know?
No, I don't no know. Idea. Seriously.
No. Michelle, do you know why? No? No. We got to get to the bottom of that.
Yeah.
We'll look into that.
Good.
Soon check the internet so we can find out.
All right, Matt. What's up?
Not a lot. Hey, the other night you were talking about a-hole neighbors leaving anonymous letters.
Yeah.
Well, sure enough, tonight I got home only to find out that someone said, I got an anonymous letter from a neighbor saying that my dogs have been barking all week. Mm-hmm. Well, I do have dogs. The only thing is all week they've been up at, I'm in Phoenix, they've been up north with my parents on their property. So they haven't
maybe
really
the,
been here
maybe,
all week.
Maybe the note's weak. Maybe I picked your mail up in a little while.
No, it was taped to my front door, and that's how I come in and out of my house, so it wasn't there this morning.
Hold on. I don't go through my front door. I do a shoulder roll through the kitchen window, like squat, pop up my hat backwards.
Maybe
so,
that's why they call you Ace.
Somebody spotted something. So, Matt, first off, you're 22. You own your own home?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll tell you what, I'm not over in Southern California. You can afford homes a little bit little easier over in Phoenix.
And work with metal.
No kidding. Yeah, what do you do for a living?
I work for a bank. I'm essentially a personal banker, essentially.
Wow. All right, 22.
Ooh, Adam, you could use a personal banker.
Yeah. No, I couldn't. You're 22. You're doing pretty good for yourself. Got your own house. You got some doggies. Your parents have property. I'm going to kick my dad in the nuts for not having property.
Yeah, but I think Matt wanted to trigger you, though, about the neighbors and the...
No. If you don't know who wrote it, then you're screwed.
Yeah, I'll give you a little quick background on it, because about 2.5 months ago, I had another one of them, and I was kind of, like, taken back. I was like, I don't want to be that guy, right, with the barking dogs. So I've been doing all kinds of stuff, got them collars to stop them from barking and all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I know which one it is.
Mm-hmm.
Which neighbor of mine it is, but I'm not 100% sure. I'm pretty
sure. One thing that Adam and I, we talked about after that show, we talked about it all the way home, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
And we both agreed that we would never leave a note. There's nothing that can entice me to do that.
No.
Or to call
the
police.
No circumstances.
There's no story. There's not that.
No.
No scenario where we would do that.
No, I told you on the air, Drew, that if I saw the silhouette through my neighbor's shade of
a clown,
pointy clown hat big nose of just eating a 9-year-old,
yeah,
I would think, well, you know what?
Wait, takes all kinds.
Come see, come saw.
Takes all kinds.
Live and let or die. Yeah, but anyway, I would just keep moving forward. None of my business. Yeah, I don't know where people get the energy, but here's the thing, too, with pain-in-the-ass neighborhoods, neighbors, I should say, best way, and it's hard to do all the time, the best way is just to try to ignore them as much as possible, because half of them would like to dance.
Right.
Most screwed-up people want to dance.
Right.
That's the whole thing. They want to engage.
Yes.
You can defuse that by just not taking the first step with them.
Right.
Yes?
Yes.
It's tough because you want to dance. I mean, it's sort of like they engage you,
right,
and then you want to sort of reply to their request. It's, you know, they put their hand out. Shall we dance? And you want to go, yeah.
And it's somehow not gratifying to not dance, mm-hmm, but it's almost always healthier just not to dance.
And not only that, they go looking for different partners.
Different dance partner.
All right. Let's talk to, feels pressure, yeah, to go to a funeral of classmates she doesn't even know. Well, that's interesting. What makes transgendered people want to change sex? Genetics? Amanda.
Yes.
You have a classmate that died?
Yes, I do.
Are you going to high school or college?
Well, I'm in college now, and he was a classmate from when I was in high school.
What happened to him?
I guess he killed himself on Wednesday.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
He hung himself, I guess.
Who wants you to go to the funeral?
A bunch of teachers from my school have called me and said, like, oh, Jake's killed himself, and we know how close you were, and everyone knows how close you were, and, you know, the funeral's tomorrow, and you can go with the principal if you want. And
were you close to him?
No.
here's the point. Was it a private school?
I went to an alternative school. So, yeah, it was pretty small.
Ooh. Yeah, that's, but let me explain.
Is it hippie school?
It's school for kids that don't like to read, enjoy smoking, and want to call their teachers their first
instead
name.
Of juvie, you go to alternative school.
No, I wasn't a bad kid or stupid or anything like that. I went because I just really hated, like, the large high school that was in my town, so I went to a smaller school.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
How many kids in your class?
There were, like, 15 kids in my class.
And you didn't know someone in your class?
I knew him, but he was really withdrawn. And I talked to him every once in a while. Like, we mentored little kids that were in a, you know, public school near us, and I used to walk to the school with him. But I hardly knew him.
Their version of alternative school is much different than what I'm used to, because there's no mentoring going on.
No, yours was dirt. You know, mentoring, throwing dirt clods.
Yeah, they're alternative schools. Like, parole officer shows up every once in a while and checks on you, but there's no mentoring of kids. You're the one who needs the mentoring. And a guy comes in, talks about why smoking and drugs are bad for you. Amanda?
Yeah, I'm here. There was no parole officer.
No parole. So you're going, where are you going? Junior college?
I was.
Yeah.
I get the
strange cold feeling talking to her. I mean, it's somebody she knew fairly well.
You have a strange cold feeling talking to me?
Yeah, because it's somebody you... I mean, what is it you want to do here? You just don't want to go to the funeral?
Here's the thing. Like, I didn't know this kid very well. He was really withdrawn and quiet, and I'm not that... I mean, I hope no one's listening to this who, like, knows this situation, but I'm not that...
I'm glad he did it, aren't
surprised
you?
Surprised that he did it. I'm not surprised. And I'm surprised that everyone thinks I was really good friends with him, which makes me think no one was friends with him, and from what I remember, no one was. So now I feel like if I don't go to this funeral, then no one's going to go, and, like, how is that going to make his family feel that none of his friends showed up? And, like, but if I
well,
do
well,
go,
here's the thing. When people call you and tell you that somebody's passed away and want to know if you want to go to the funeral, they don't say, I know you guys were marginal friends.
Right.
They just say, well, I know you guys were close and it'd probably be important that you go. You know, they just couch it that way.
Right.
So they probably don't necessarily
kind of
think you guys were best friends. That's what they say.
Listen, in your graduating class of 15, how could you not be close with everybody? In some fashion, maybe not with great intimacy or great knowledge, but each one of those people was a major part of your high school experience.
Drew, how about you get close with the ear, nose, and throat doctor?
This is going to take a few days to get better.
Please. Stifle yourself, would you please?
I know, it's bad.
Yeah, he's got a cold. Hey, Amanda.
Yes, that's me.
It was 15 people that graduated?
Oh, no, only like 5 of us graduated.
There are 15 in the high school?
15 in my class, yeah. But the thing is, like,
and he was in your class.
I remember this guy.
How long were you at the school?
3 years.
And was he there? Hold on. Ha! Was he there all? And by the way, this is my path. Leave me alone.
I know.
He was there all 3 years you were there?
I'm assuming.
And you don't...
All right,
wait,
hold on.
Did you hear what she said? She said, I don't remember them. I don't remember. What happened to her? I can't remember anybody in a class of 15 that I was with for 3 years. I can't remember anybody.
Was in a class.
She, and by the way, she's not 48. She's 19. This last year.
Your throat is like in its 80s, Drew.
I'm gonna spring right out of my...
Please bring something up. Please bring up that sanding disc that's in there.
Oh, my God.
All right. Okay. So the question initially was, someone in her high school class died. They didn't really know each other, and now she's being pressured to go to the guy's funeral, which is a weird thing because, like, I went to high school with 4,000 people.
Right.
And it's like, well, I didn't know everyone, and everyone knew me. I didn't know everybody in my high school class. And then the second one is why is everyone calling her? That's your second one. Why would you even call? The teachers know your number. They want to know if the principal wants to speak. What is all this?
Yes.
All right. Well, now it's coming into focus.
Yeah.
15 people for 4 years?
And listen, why did only 5 of them graduate?
It's alternative school, Drew.
So you don't graduate if you don't want to?
Listen, please. Amanda?
Yeah.
Okay. Wait, did you really, 3 years or 4 years?
I was there for 3 years.
3 years in a class of 15.
Right.
And you forget who these people were?
Let me explain.
All right.
Because it's not... First of all, the kid was really quiet.
Now, we got that part.
Okay, second of all, I was moved up. Like, I went as a sophomore, but I was put into the senior class, so I didn't have, like, a year of the class I wasn't in with him.
If you're only pack-a-day smoker, they'll move you up sometimes.
Nice.
Sometimes.
Yeah. So she was with him for 2 days, 2 years, not 4. So you were with him for 2 years, not 4.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in the same school for 3 years, but yeah.
Right.
Basically. Same class for 2 years.
Right.
Third of all, he was really quiet, and I had a boyfriend the whole time that I was in that class with my boyfriend.
But so hold on a second.
I have a question.
You can't do A, he was really quiet, B, I got moved up, C, he was really quiet.
Yeah. Amanda, did the classroom have a mascot, like an animal?
No.
There's no rabbit or dog or cat or something that hung around the classroom?
That's an alternative school.
Like a class pet? It was high school.
Yeah, but I mean, it was an alternative high school, so was there any kind of class pet or anything?
No, and we didn't color or anything. It was, like, normal.
No, what I was wondering is if you had been exposed to such an animal, if you remembered it, or was it too quiet for you?
True. Hold on a second. Hold on, man. Let me yell it true. True. Have you ever gone down a road where there's ever been anything at the end of it on this show?
Of course not.
Ever?
Of course not.
Why do you continue traveling?
Why do you continue bringing it up? Of course I'm going to travel. Of course I'm going nowhere.
Did you have a class pet? Huh? Yeah, a mascot. What? A mascot? No, it's high school. Well, if you did, you wouldn't have remembered it, you bitch. And Drew, if they say no, you can't keep going. You got to stop.
No, I was giving the point I was going to make. See.
What do you think, Chief? What do you think?
Otherwise, it would have been just, why is he asking about pets?
Yeah. Oh, you talking about Jaime the polar bear? Right. Sure, yeah.
I remember him. Yeah. I've forgotten about him. Now I remember.
750 pounds. Amanda?
Yes?
I'm sorry for my partner.
That's
Look,
okay.
you don't have to go if you don't want to go.
No, that's not the point. Of course not.
I think you should go because now that I realize that you had a class that was really, there's more M&Ms in a mini pack than you had in your graduating class. You need to go there. I think you do. And you know why? You know why you need to? Because it's one of these things where it just falls under the heading of it takes half your day, and screw it, it's done. And then out of respect,
something that good people do.
And secondly, what the hell are you doing anyway?
Right.
You dropped out of junior college.
I do have a job.
All right.
What kind of job?
I'm the supervisor at an arts and crafts store.
All right. Well, tell the old people they can't have their clay this day, and you go pay your respects.
I'm just, you know, it just seems like it might be wrong to go to a funeral if I hardly knew the guy.
No, it's wrong. Well, we'd say it's wrong not to go.
It's quite the opposite.
It's wrong really? Not to go. Yes, definitely.
It really is. As long as you're not asked to speak, because I don't want you going, he was pretty depressed. I was banging another guy. I didn't like him much. He gave me the creeps. Good riddance.
Speaking of getting the creeps, Amanda gives me the creeps.
Amanda, you're creeping us out.
Wait, can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
I know. You guys, he was quiet.
He was quiet.
No,
I can't remember
him. Do you think that everyone you knew when you were in high school would remember you? I'm sure.
But Amanda, if I was, in fact, I can tell you for sure, I had a slightly larger class, but a small class of like 60 people. When I was a resident, one of my classmates died. I absolutely got my ass to her funeral. And that was 7 years later, not 1 year later.
Okay.
Just out of respect to a history together.
Yeah. And look,
the community that you were a part of. Even if it's not the person.
And by the way, what is your semi-retarded point? I had, you know, 500 people in my graduating class. I probably knew 400 of them.
Right.
And how dare you? They all knew me.
Not everybody.
Yeah, okay. Not everybody, but not everyone had a graduating class of five.
Yeah.
I remember the people that graduated.
You went to like a little house in the prairie type school. Smaller. I mean,
yeah,
I know.
I didn't talk to him.
Yeah, all right, shut up.
Enough. Let's keep going.
God,
keep
you're a pain in the ass. You must be good looking. You've got to be good looking with that horrible attitude of yours. Are you hot?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'd say you're hot.
I'm pregnant.
Oh no.
God. Oh, my God.
You're going to ruin your kid.
Oh, my God.
What's going on?
I'm not
going
to ruin my kid.
Didn't I tell you that alternative school was a mess?
Nobody would say that to you. That's a horrible thing to say.
Is this why you don't want to go be seen by your school people because you're pregnant?
Yeah, she's a shame.
I don't care. They can see me. I'm smart. I have a family. I have a job.
Yeah.
She's a shame. She don't want to go.
That's right.
I've already gone in and seen my teachers. They know I'm pregnant.
All right. By the way, alternative school and not pregnant.
Before I got pregnant, yeah.
All right, not pregnant until 90. Okay, you married? What's going on?
What does it matter if I'm? No, I'm not married.
All right. Everything's a defensive BS.
Oh, shut up! Just go ruin your kid. And let me tell you. By the way, remember alternative school? Remember about an hour and a half ago, I was telling you only Nimrods go to alternative school and troublemakers. Oh no! I just went in a more intimate environment. An intimate environment where you didn't know anybody.
Yeah.
Number one. Number two, how's it work? Well, dropped out of junior college, pregnant at 19, have a job where I hand out decorative pipe cleaners to old people.
Fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Harvard bound.
Yes.
Am I right or am I right about this alternative school nonsense?
Yes.
Look, here's the thing. There's certain people that weren't meant to go to school. Why do we have to warehouse them? Oh, we'll just put them in a pen. We'll sit around.
And the irony of Amanda is that she probably could have performed well at a real school if somebody kicked her ass a little bit.
She got the smart part, but she also has the ass part in spades.
Yeah.
Smart and ass. Smart ass.
Oh, yeah. How about that?
All right. She's Mind angry. Six. I don't know what the hell's
she's
wrong
not angry.
With her.
She's just defensive.
That's angry.
Everything's a big explanation.
Why do you have to be defensive about my anger allegations? Enzo? Enzo's 16.
Is he asleep?
No.
There you are.
Enzo's been on hold for 80 minutes. Enzo's calling from Arizona.
Go ahead, Enzo. Now's your chance.
Not a lot of guys in Arizona named Enzo.
Probably not.
And I think we've spoken to Enzo before.
Yeah, I called the eve of Thanksgiving.
That's right, Enzo. What's up, brother man?
I was playing paintball with my team earlier this afternoon.
Your team.
And I got shot and bruised on my left testicle.
Oh,
yeah.
And I want to know if that's something I should, like, be worrying about. Should I have it checked out or what?
Is it still hurting?
Yeah, it's, like, really, really dark blue.
Is it swollen?
Yeah.
Then you definitely need to be seen. You can actually fracture your testy. It can die. I had a patient that got hit with a hockey puck in the testy, and it just fractured, just like if you had a hard-boiled egg and cracked it.
Yeah,
that's what it looked like.
Exploded.
Yeah, kind of exploded. And so you can get real serious injuries, Enzo, that way. So they may want to do an ultrasound on it, make sure the blood's getting to it, and that it's still alive.
Tomorrow?
Yeah, like tomorrow.
Yeah.
See a urologist, or go to the emergency room.
Okay. Shot in the balls with a ball.
Paintball.
Shouldn't you be wearing a cup?
No. Wait, what?
Like
why
said,
not?
How many times have you gone paintballing?
Who, me?
You, Adam.
Oh, listen, Enzo, you've been paintballing 750 times. I think I've done it like two or three times.
Have you even considered wearing a cup?
Okay. I wear a cup to go to the market.
Oh, that's right.
And I'm very protective of my jewels.
Well, you're thinking, because your junk sort of lags, you know, it's like a that falls like a bridal train.
It lacks form.
Yeah, so you have to keep it kind of packed in.
Yeah,
I understand
like like a jellyfish.
Yeah, it's different.
I got to put it in water. So
yeah.
Otherwise, it just it spills out all over the place. Huge, prodigious sack.
Prodigious sack. Prodigious sack, yes?
Yes. Yes.
Prodigious sack, yes.
Yes. Krista.
Hello.
You're 20?
I am.
Oh, I like you so much better than that last chick caller.
Yeah, she was interesting, wasn't she?
I like when people... You know, my favorite part about life is when idiots make retarded points. Well, let me ask you.
Yeah.
Would you know everybody? Look, here's the thing. If I was flying in a private plane with four people, I would know everyone in the private plane.
That's right.
If I was flying in a 747 with 400 people, I wouldn't know everyone on the plane. Right. Well, let me ask you.
Okay.
Yeah. No, not you, baby doll.
No. Oh, sorry.
Chris is ready to serve.
Yeah, her whole thing was null and void because she graduated with five people.
I'm
a hoover.
All right, Krista, what's going on?
And I was known, Drew.
In your high school?
That's right.
You were known as the nappy-headed guy.
Do you know why they call me Ace?
Yeah. No.
Drew, can you do anything?
No.
All right, then be quiet. Krista?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'm 20. I'm a pretty mature 20-year-old, though, because of, like, my childhood.
By the way, that does not make somebody mature. A traumatic childhood does not make them mature. It makes them sort of feel like they lost their childhood and make them parentalize and makes them very caretaking, but not necessarily mature.
Yeah, it's like beating the crap out of a car and calling it seasoned
right.
when it's only 2 years old.
Exactly.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. Well, I used to be engaged to this guy. We dated for about 2 years, and we had a sexual relationship for about a year and a half.
What kind of relationship?
Sexual.
Okay.
Sexual.
Sexual. She says it like Szechuan.
Sorry.
That's all right. Go ahead.
So anyways, in this relationship, like at the beginning, it was pretty good. Like, he was very attentive to my needs, and everything went fine. But as time went on, he became less attentive, and it was more about... He was very selfish, basically. Like, there was a few times that he told me to fake orgasms because he didn't want to feel inadequate. And so...
He didn't actually say, an orgasm,
no,
so
he,
I can...
He did.
Like, right now, fake it? Or, I wish you would fake it when we were having sex?
Yeah, the second.
Okay.
The latter.
But did he say, so I won't feel inadequate?
Mm-hmm.
Joking?
No, not joking. Like, serious. Like, this, it was pretty bad towards the end.
I find that hard to believe. But
no,
go ahead.
Well,
I know that's definitely what you heard or what you felt.
No, he really did say that.
All right. why you didn't turn and run right then is hard to believe. But go ahead.
I was pretty involved. It was a long. It's a long story. Anyways, he would ask me to participate in some role playing activities.
Mm-hmm.
And I went along with them because one, they sounded enjoyable to me, and two, I was willing to try anything to kind of spice it up, if that makes sense.
To spice it up or to make him happy.
And three, he was quiet. He kept to himself.
That's
a different call. All right. And what was the role playing?
It was a rape situation.
Rape situation.
One time.
All right.
How'd it work? What happened? What was the scenario?
Like, basically, it was I would try to fight him off.
Mm-hmm. Would he come in through the window or something?
Oh, no, nothing like that. It's hard to explain. It was more
How could it be sexual? It's just a violent crime. How could it be sexual?
Drew?
Adam,
How could that be? No, people don't... People don't know this about rape. They think it's a sexual crime.
Well, I mean, she claims it is. She claims he came in and had sex with her.
No.
How could that be rape?
No, it's a violent...
Oh, so
violent.
He came in and he beat her.
No, it's rape. No, it is a violent crime. It is not a sexual crime.
Okay.
It's not a crime of passion.
I'm getting it.
Not a crime of sexuality or intimacy.
It's pure violence.
It's the same thing as if I beat the crap out of you. Out where you come, though.
What?
But it is all violence, and then you come. But it is no different, Drew, and please hear me, because I've had to explain this to you before. It is no different than any other violent crime where you come at the end. It is none. It's not. You understand? If I knocked you off that chair right now, okay, and I picked up that coffee mug and began beating you about
thing.
The head,
or
and then came
and would, ejaculate. Okay.
And ejaculate. It would be no different than that. Do you understand? It is not. There's nothing to do. Zero to do with sexuality, except for you come, and everything to do with violence, except for you don't really actually smack a person.
But it is
not a sexual crime.
Because,
do you understand?
I mean, just because you
violence.
Just because you have.
Crime of violence.
Just because there's penetration and orgasm, ejaculation.
No, what would do not. It, no, what, no, no, what there, no. It, there's,
it, that, what would be sexual
I,
about that?
If I went to a Korean liquor store.
Yes, yeah.
And there was an elderly man behind the counter.
Pistol whipped him?
And I pistol whipped him. Yeah. And then, you know, I penetrated him and had an orgasm on him. It would be no different than that. Okay?
That would be right.
Violent.
Violent crime.
That's
a violent crime.
Same
thing.
Violent.
Same thing.
Violent. Violent, yeah. Brutal, violent crime where you come at the end. Okay. So please get that straight. Krista?
Hello.
Hold on a second.
Okay.
All right, Drew. And I can't believe I haven't had to tell you that.
It's hard
for me
to get through my head that it's violent like that. It's so violent.
And then you come.
And then you jack.
But it's not sexual. But you do come.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. It's like all those other things where you ejaculate that aren't sexual. Funerals, physicals. You know what I'm saying, Drew? Close your eyes and picture all those
things that end
with an orgasm aren't sexual.
Here's the irony. Even when you're giving a sperm sample, it's sexual.
No, that's a violent. Oh, wait a minute.
No, even.
Okay, you're right. That's the multitude of things that end with an orgasm that are non-sexual. It's just like those. Okay?
I'm compiling my list.
Thank you.
Right,
all right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with poor Krista after this. Yeah.
Woo!
Tell you what, Drew, takes all kinds, don't
takes
it, though?
Takes all kinds. Keeps murdering clowns. Mm-hmm. Takes Amanda's of the world who won't go to the funerals of people that she's lived with for 5 years.
Mm.
3 years.
3 years, come on. He didn't talk much. Christine?
Wasn't my point reasonable about the animal?
What was your point?
My point was going to be if they had an animal, a rabbit or something that cruised around their little alternative classroom there. Mm-hmm. She'd remember the rabbit. The rabbit stayed in the corner, stayed to itself, and was quiet, too. You know what I'm saying?
It would have been a reasonable...
had there been a rabbit.
Had there been an animal in the class.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Here's the thing. When you hear no, you got to keep moving.
All right. Can't you explain what path you're
going?
No. Okay. God, I heard it.
No.
See, but I did come to understand that rape is a violent crime where you come.
That's right.
Crime where you ejaculate.
That's right.
Like all... And it's not sexual like so many other... actions that include ejaculation.
That's
not
right.
Sexual.
That's right. Okay. See, you're a doctor, but you can still learn things.
Oh my God,
Krista.
Hello.
All right, so here we go. The role playing. What? And it was just the rape thing, or was there something else?
No, it was basically it because, like, shortly after that we broke up. But the reason why he wanted to do that, he was taking a sociology class at college, and they had a section on rape, and like they were watching a movie about it, and he liked it and wanted to. Replay it.
What movie do you need to watch about rape in college?
They did. They watched one.
Doesn't it?
No. What was the movie called?
I don't know. It was like a it's made for college sort of a thing.
Mm-hmm. I saw that movie Face Off and I felt raped.
I've been raped by many
one of my $8 back.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Broken Arrow too.
After the Sunset raping. Or whatever that was.
Oh.
Rape.
Oh. Pierce Brosnan, recent. Yeah. Rape, Drew. Sodomy, too.
Mm-hmm.
Finished in your hair. Krista?
Not sexual. Not sexual.
Yeah. Not a sexual crime. The guy's gone now, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So what's the big deal?
What's your question?
Well, my question is that we are from the same area. Like, we live in the same area, pretty much. And when we were dating...
We are in the same area. We live in the same area, pretty much.
You guys are in the same area?
We live in the same area.
Oh, they live
you
in the
do.
Same area.
Okay. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so the people I associate with, he associates with.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we were dating, he was really into the violent role plays and the dirty talk and all that other kind of coarser sex.
Right. All right.
Okay, what's the question?
Okay, now that we're broken up, he tells people that the reason why he broke up with me is because I freaked him out because of all that, and that it was my idea and things like that. And so I'm getting a bad reputation for this, even though it was him who said that he liked it and wanted to try it out.
So right. What do you mean getting a bad reputation?
What?
What do you mean bad reputation? What does that mean to you?
Bad reputation as in I'm kind of a psycho sex.
No, who is, understand, because males maybe actually like this. The men might be thinking, fine.
Yeah, by the way, he's told three people who don't care.
Yeah.
Krista, get over yourself. Who cares?
You're talking about women getting back to you with the story to sort of make you feel better.
Oh, please.
It's something you, Yenta friends are doing.
It's like a novella. Relax, sweetie pea. Just get on with your life.
There. Okay.
There we go. She hung up or hung up. I don't know what happened.
I feel violated.
Just relax, everybody. And look, don't get caught up in the nonsense. Move forward. You know what the best revenge is, Drew?
Happiness.
I was going to say you take an ice pick to their tires.
Oh, that's good, too.
Yeah.
And
then you come. What was yours?
Revenge.
Yeah. What was yours? Happiness?
Yeah.
No. That's not revenge.
That's not creative enough.
No, it's not good. Megan?
Yeah, I'm here.
You're 19?
Yes.
What's up, baby doll?
All right. A friend and I, we have a little argument going on about what causes somebody to be a transgendered person.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think you're both 19.
Yeah. Well, he's 20. He's 20.
I don't think you guys are in a position to solve that conundrum.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
calling us.
Well, he's been a listener for...
All right. Well, let's talk about why somebody would do that.
Yeah.
Drew?
I unfortunately, like every human behavior, there's a genetic component and a behavioral component.
Right.
So there probably is some sort of... genetic vulnerability, or maybe even some people a very powerful genetic mechanism.
I have heard a handful of stories and seen a handful of stories on people that seem to be to want this procedure done to them. Always male going to female,
right,
by the way,
which is usually what it is.
Right. That have longed for this procedure since they say they were 2 or 3 years old. So there does seem to be those who just came out of the chute wanting to be different than, and they have pictures of them when they're little kids and their hair is short and when they don't want to wear dresses and so on and so forth. So there's definitely that element.
But you and I were having a conversation last night about fetishes in general. And as you know, I believe that people fetishize their body many times.
Yes.
Like Pamela Anderson to me is a female cross-dresser. Somebody who overly accentuates her female qualities is basically fetishizing her body.
Right.
I wonder if some of this isn't a fetish, the transgender fetish that you have to...
Well, one could argue it was the ultimate fetish.
Right, and you and I had an interesting discussion last night off the air. I mean, I think can't distinguish anymore what we talk about.
Yes, Drew had a theory about fetishes. He floated to me while I was on my cell phone pumping some gas into my car last night.
Yeah, and my thought was that perhaps fetish is something we call countertransference, that there may be vulnerable periods during early development where the child sort of gets a huge dose of what's going on in the mom, that there's some sort of female preoccupation of a very powerful nature. Like, women preoccupy about shoes. Men don't. Women very preoccupied with feet and shoes.
Right.
Well, maybe that feeling comes from something in women, and the child is exposed to that feeling in some sort of powerful way at age 1.5 or something.
Mm-hmm.
Pow! Fetish for feet, for shoes.
Right.
And maybe there's something about... They have shown that transgender and that sort of, and women that hang around with transgender and gay men oftentimes are given messages about, I wish you'd been that other sex.
Mm-hmm. Well, Megan... this is speculation and hearsay.
Pure. This has not been solved, what this is from.
Yes, so the answer is not a simple one. Small percentage of people are born that way. Of this community, I would say about 20% actually just come out of the womb wanting something different downstairs. And then the other 80% then the other 60% were just ritualistically abused and screwed with and effed with sexually, and it caused. And then there's 20% that are just sort of plain nutty.
All right.
There you go.
All right.
Now, what was your thought on it, Megan?
I thought maybe he was saying that it was like all like abuse, and I was saying I think some people are born
I think we can agree. I think we can agree that a percentage of transgendered people were born with not an environment of abuse and born wanting to change their gender. Mm. Yes, true.
Something. Yes.
And not willing to go with that? I've seen enough stories on it, and it's. I don't want to believe it either, but there was a story on, 20 or 48 hours a couple of weeks ago, twins.
Mm.
And one of them was transgendered, and the other one wasn't. And these were both twins.
Identical twins?
Yeah.
Well, doesn't that tell you that it's not genetic then?
If I was smarter, it would. But I'm not, so screw you.
That means it's definitely not genetic.
Touche.
That's how you tell whether things are genetic when it comes to both twins.
Now, here's the thing. I think they were identical twins.
Okay.
Let's see. Fraternal twins can born the same time.
Different genetics.
Different genetics, but oftentimes look the same.
Yeah, sometimes. But Olsen twins are fraternal.
The fraternal. But, okay, so the point is... These twins, I'm not. Maybe they're just fraternal twins. Okay. The point is, or maybe they weren't. I should check it out. The point is they had this crazy. And the one of them wanted to be a dude since the word go, and the other one was happily wearing dresses and playing with dolls. Mm. And this one cut her hair off and wouldn't go along with anything. And then by the time she was like 11, just full blown diesel dyke, just. Tough skins, cuffed up, and a lumberjack shirt, and a mullet, and oh my God! As a parent, by the way, I don't know what you do. Like when your kid just, age 9, diesel dyke. What are you gonna do, pops? What are you gonna do? I don't know what you're gonna do, but something. You got to do something. I don't know what. You know what I'm gonna do if my kid goes for that? Freeze him.
Just right then.
Just freeze them. Just flash freeze them.
Cut the head off and freeze, or just freeze
no,
the
no,
whole
just
thing?
Freeze the whole thing.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I do it. Liquid nitrogen. Pow! Dip them right in there like a bluefin. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Flash freeze them, and then you know what?
Like a tuna.
And then we'll work on it.
Yeah, you figure it out.
And everyone will be like, "What are you gonna do?" And I'll be like, "What's the rush? Relax. Let's let medical science catch up to us."
It's good.
Yeah,
it's nice.
Just keep them. Yeah. All right, so what was I talking about?
I don't know. Let's go to break.
Okay, there were. I think they may have been identical twins, and here's the hypothesis. Mm. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
They got into, maybe this is just mumbo jumbo, but here's the hypothesis. The mom got into a horrible car accident or a bad car accident, I don't know, a month before the birth. The hypothesis is that one of the kids suffered some trauma, whereas the other one didn't.
Interesting.
And that could have caused this.
That makes sense.
Been the motivating factor behind this crazy change between two people that essentially were the same.
There you go.
You're going for that?
Oh, absolutely.
All right.
Very interesting.
All right. We're going to take a, and by the way, violent car accidents.
We ejaculate?
You ejaculate?
That's not sexual.
It's not sexual.
But I in my theory, the kid who'd been traumatized would come out with a vulnerability to these sort of fetishistic reactions.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't be the actual trauma that caused it, but sets up the vulnerability for it.
What's that mean?
It's not a sexual crime.
What do you mean the vulnerability?
The potential for the environment then to have that imprint on him.
All right. Well, whatever you want to say. One was just much more prone to cutting the ding-a-ling off.
Correct.
And it's awesome, too. She was stocky and had a beard and everything. It was great.
Good times.
Yeah. There's some guy at work who's trying to F him wait a minute.
That was before.
I got screwed up. Yeah. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. Woo! Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm eating something. Loveline, everybody.
Here we go.
You talk. Go ahead and talk.
All right. We've learned tonight that rape is not a sexual crime.
Mm-hmm.
We've learned that... I don't have anything to say if Adam isn't talking, so we're going to go right into calls.
What goes on that you can't kill 18 seconds on the radio?
I'm going to go to calls.
You know what it is? You got plenty of wind until somebody tells you to do it, and then you got nothing.
Well, you've got to engage your head, and when your head isn't engaged,
I don't,
on the spot.
I don't.
I know. You just have wind.
I know. Let me say this. We were sitting here listening to some classic TV tunes. Engineer Michelle, always a breath of fresh air, by the way, when she's in the studio. What a delight. By the way, compared to engineer Chris, I could just lean a mop handle up against that board, and it would be an improvement.
Come on now, please. Brutal.
Let's be honest. But the point is he's not listening. We're cool. And he knows.
Why do you say that, Carla? Because he doesn't laugh at everything you say?
He knows I love him.
That's why.
Yeah.
Are you that transparent, Carla?
Anderson,
I'd like to replace you with a plastic snowman. Are you kidding me? How dare you? Michelle's the only one I like. What a doll.
A plastic snowman.
Why a plastic snowman?
I wouldn't even plug you in. All right, please. Just quiet down over there. Here's my point.
Oh, my.
What was I saying?
I don't know. What's it called?
We're listing some classic music, classic TV show themes, all right? I was watching Wheel of Fortune tonight.
Yeah.
And they said, here was the topic. They were trying to do the problem. Classic television shows.
Yeah.
Classic television shows. And it's like, there's four or five words up there. And they get, you know, they get almost every letter. And I'm staring at it. I don't know. Classic Bonanza? No, I don't. Here's what Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Oh.
And I thought, holy Christ.
You're old.
That's a classic TV show? You can't say that's a classic TV show.
No, I wouldn't.
Really?
That's 90s. That's not classic.
The topic was classic television.
I know.
All right. Anyway. Yeah. All right.
What are you going
to do? Hey, what are you going to do? It's like when I'm listening to the our sister station here, the Arrow, plays a classic rock, and hear What I Like About You by the Romantics. You know,
right.
Like, holy Christ.
Police or something. Yeah.
It is an old song, but classic?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. I think Gilligan's Island, Bewitched.
That's right. World. Nat?
Yeah.
You're 16?
Sure enough.
And by the way, though, my kids just think retarded. They don't think classic.
When they, old music or old TV?
Old TV. They just go, what? Watch this crap.
By the way, if we had had more than 2.5 channels to look at, that stuff would have been immediately, you know, these shows you had.
Wouldn't you argue that in those days when you had 2.5 channels, you'd have to put good programming on those 2.5 channels?
No. No, you wouldn't.
There's no choice.
Yeah, well, let me tell you what TV was like when we were growing up. It was like stadium food, which is you can't bring any food in. You're not going anywhere, so here's your crappy corn dog. And by the way, that's $6. You know, you're just screwed.
Yeah.
Because it's why communism doesn't work.
Right.
You're just a horrible product. I mean, look at the cars they drive in Russia. You know what I mean? It's nothing. There's no competition.
You're right.
That's it. No competition.
Yeah.
What do you get? You get My Favorite Martian. And you get Gladys the talking mule. And you get...
My Mother the Car.
Mother of the Car and the Ghost and Miss Muir and Hogan's Heroes and all those other. It's just crappy, god-awful TV shows that we're forced to watch.
Let's play something good.
Well, you read books, Drew. I didn't have anything but television.
Germany or Florida? Nat?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go.
An award-winning artist was arrested Tuesday after he attempted to throw a vial of his own blood on a sculpture of pop star Michael Jackson on display at an art gallery. The man was charged with disturbing the peace and property damage after trying to splatter blood on a statue by well-known Los Angeles artist Paul McCarthy, which is on display at the museum.
Okay, now, he's trying to throw us a curve. Yeah, feels German. We didn't hear about it, so it probably wasn't his country. And people would have liked it here. They'd like that action. He's throwing us a little curve with it being a Los Angeles artist.
Just happened, so you may not have gotten it yet.
Like, just happened tonight?
Is it a curve, or is an idiot?
Or is it really just plain old Florida? But why would Los Angeles artists?
Nah, I'm going Germany.
I'm going Germany, too.
I got a lot more info
We're going Germany, Nat.
I got more info. Do you want to hear it?
No.
Let's hear the info. Come on.
German.
I want you to hear it, though.
Okay.
Well, then just say it.
He wants to show us what a great editing job he did. So go ahead.
Okay, thank you. The statue, which depicts Jackson and his pet chimpanzee Bubbles, is part of an exhibit of contemporary art from a collection of a well-known businessman. Museum officials said the artwork was not hit by blood, which landed on a nearby wall. The 55-year-old Toronto artist reportedly shouted, "I am protesting against the loss of independence in art," following the incident. Over the space of 2 decades, he has been banned from numerous galleries, including New York's Museum of Modern Art and the National Gallery of Canada, for splattering X marks with his own blood on the walls.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Ooh, he's never left the continent to do this.
You know what? I'm sticking with my Germany.
But he's a Canadian artist, not a German artist.
Go Florida.
All right, go Florida. All right, go, Nat.
It was Germany.
Nat?
Just happened in Berlin.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. You talked me out of it.
And thank you for shoehorning the rest of that useless information in my already German declaration.
Right. Repeatedly German. All right, let's keep going. Keep moving. Here you go.
You want to hear the rest? No, Germany. You sure you don't want to hear it? No, no. Okay, well, I'm going to say it anyway. All right, German. But you got Drew to change. Yeah. Weak. You blowing the wind, buddy.
I'll do, man.
It's a new theme song?
I don't know. Adam, what's up?
Hey, what's up?
24.
What's happening?
Was that you singing?
I was doing a Germinator Florida tune while I was waiting for y'all.
Wow, well, let's hear it.
No kidding. Well, let me play it.
All right.
Is it Germany or Florida? Is it Germany or Florida? Is it Germany or Florida?
You know, when you think
I guess it could be Germany or Florida. It may as well be Germany.
Hold on, Dora.
It may as well be Florida. It may as well be Germany or Florida. And that's all I got so far.
Wow.
Well, how are y'all doing?
I wonder how it's going to end.
May as well be Germany or Florida.
Wow, that's good.
I was just trying to pass the time. I cannot believe I'm on the air.
Well,
I'm trying to call the show for 7 daggone years.
Okay, we got 15 seconds. Adam, what's going on?
Okay. Well, anyway, I sort of have an arousal problem where I think I have a low sex drive. Mm-hmm. And I also have sarcoidosis, and I was wondering if maybe that has anything to do with anything.
It sure could. Are you wanting medicine for the sarcoid?
Well,
what is it?
I don't have health insurance quite yet.
Oh, my God. Your sarcoid isn't...
I almost got diagnosed. I didn't go back for the biopsy because I didn't have health insurance. And so...
So do they know for a fact that... Well, sarcoid is what's called a disease of caseating granulomas. Mm. It's like tuberculosis without a cause of invasion.
Or non-caseating.
Non-caseating granulomas.
Did the doctor go, you have sarcoidosis granulomas?
Non-caseating granulomas? Or maybe it's something else?
Well, Drew, what should he do?
Adam, you need to, yes, of course, you're ill. This could affect, and sarcoid is a pretty easy disease to treat, but it can get fairly extensive and get through your lungs, get in your central nervous system.
So far, it affects my lungs. I'm a singer,
get treatment.
No
please
kidding.
Get treatment.
Adam, of course,
it's having an effect.
Musician.
Maybe there's something else going on here, too. So.
Now, I want to get a disease where they go, it's curable if it's caught late. That's the twist. You got to put it off.
All right.
We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this.
Well, that's the week, everybody. Want to give some thanks where thanks are due.
First, phone screener Brian for doing a wonderful job. Phone screener Ziggy for doing a wonderful job. Junior. Producer. Tells her name Lauren.
And producer Ann.
Doing a wonderful job. Producer Ann for doing a fantastic job.
New love of your life. Engineer Michelle.
Yeah. The apple of my eye. Engineer Michelle.
Engineer Chris.
Of course, Chris.
And then the plastic snowman.
Then I guess there's Frosty, the engineer, over on the other end. Engineer Anderson, of course. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.
It may as well be Florida. It may as well be Germany or Florida. And that's all I got so far.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.